Cape Talk. Inspiration Wednesday.
Can't think of the last time I've been quite this excited about an Inspiration Wednesday story, because there are so many interesting and amazing elements to this story. The first thing I need to tell you is that you want to just clear your diaries for the 20th of July, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday thereafter, for a very exciting opera event that is happening at the Baxter Theatre. Why do I want you to do that? Not just so that you can enjoy some wonderful music from amazing singers, but because there is such a very special cause at the heart of this event. And to paint the picture for us and to share his own remarkable story with us, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the organizer of that concert. His name is Njabulo Matlala. He is an internationally acclaimed South African-born opera singer. He currently lives in London and is forging a very bright career as a baritone. He is the founder of the Voices of SA Trust, himself, as I mentioned, a very successful opera singer. And though he might live in London, his love of his home country is never far from his heart. And his determination to pay it forward is never far from his heart. Njabulo is going to share with us his own remarkable story of how he came to have a career in opera, and then talk to us about what he is doing to help other singers follow in his footsteps. It is an absolute delight to have him on the line with us from London in advance of his arrival back home in South Africa. Njabulo, thank you so much for chatting to me and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and good afternoon.
Before we talk about the masterclasses you are running and the competition and the concert, let's talk about your own journey, because this is just a story that I absolutely love. Njabulo, where did the love of music start in the first place?
Well, you know, at home growing up, there was always music, but really my love of music, because my grandmother used to sing. She used to sing all the time in the house, and she used to sing lullabies to put us to sleep. So it was there that I really connected with music and got the yearning to hear somebody.
Right, we seem to be struggling with the phone line there, so I'm going to put Njabulo back on hold and ask my producer to try and just see if we can get him to move around a little bit and find us a clearer line, because this is a remarkable story that I want you to be able to hear. In the meantime, let me share some details of the concert you want to flag in your diaries. Saturday the 20th of July is the date. It's happening at the Baxter Theatre. It is called A Night at the Opera Gala Fundraiser, and it kicks off at 7:30 p.m. that Saturday evening. It is a wonderful evening of music featuring a number of leading South African-based singers, and among them, I must mention, Menzi Ngoma, that Uber driver turned opera star that we chatted to just a couple of weeks ago. He is part of the lineup for this exciting event. We'll tell you more about what it's fundraising for in a minute. Let's hope we've got Njabulo back on a clearer line. Sorry about the interruption there. You were telling us how your grandmother used to sing all the time and that your love of music was born there. The interesting thing for me, Njabulo, was to read that initially when you were offered the chance to sing and do choir at school, you actually didn't enjoy it at all. I believe it was your grandmother bringing home some tapes of Pavarotti that was a turning point for you.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, as a child, I was very shy. I was very quiet. And which is why I guess I connected with those quiet moments where my grandmother sang. So at school, I tried my best to resist and everything. And my mother, you know, my mother wrote a letter to the school to say I really was very frustrated and that I should be allowed not to sing in the choir. And I remember the principal writing in the terms of, well, he either is in the school and singing in the choir, or you have to find him another school. So I had to do it. And so I did. And as I grew up, I could hear that, you know, this is something I was enjoying. But it was really when my grandmother used to work for a family. She was a domestic worker, and she used to work for this family that obviously loved classical music and opera. And her madam must have been getting rid of these tapes. They were cassettes those days, and she brought them home, and I was listening, and there was one of Pavarotti singing, you know, the famous aria from La Fille du Régiment, which is the Nine Top C's. And I used to put it on and listen to it when no one was at home, when all the adults were out. And as I was singing in the choir, I found something that related, and I used to sing along. to it. And the community knew me because I used to put the radio high and sing along, and really it was my happy moment. And that's really the first time that I realized that I had a connection with this thing.
Now, you were able to audition for a place in a choir that took you on a trip to the UK, only 18 years old. And this is where, to me, quite the most remarkable part of your story plays out, because you were on that stage and a soloist had to pull out for whatever reason, and you were asked to step in for him that night. Tell us what happened next.
Yes, someone had, I guess, the other something happened at home while we were in London, but the person had to fly back home, who was doing a big role. So the person who was singing a small role was asked to sing their role, and then they were to be filled in. And up until then, we were singing as a choir, and I had not received any singing lessons or music. But they heard a few people, and then they said, "You want me to sing this role?" And I was night to do it the next day. It was Morales in Carmen, and I did it, and a few performances passed, but there was a woman who was in the audience once. We got to meet the audience after the show, and I met this lady who said, "You know, I read in your biography that you're only 18, and that I think that you should definitely investigate studying. Have you thought about going to the music colleges?" And I said, "Well, you know, I would love to, but first of all, no idea. But secondly, there's just no way I could afford to go and study. If I couldn't afford to go and study in university in South Africa, to go and study in London, you know." And she said, "Well, you need to go and sing for them, and maybe something might come out." And she wrote down for me names of two colleges, the Guildhall School of Music, and she wrote down the stop where I would have to get off, which is the Barbican, and Royal College of Music, which is Kensington. And I remember once going to the theatre for a performance, the train suddenly stopped at the Barbican. And I remember that lady had said Guildhall was at the Barbican. And I got off the train, and I looked for the Guildhall, and I found it. And I walked in, and I said to the security, "Can I please see someone from the voice department?" And sure, they called the head of voice. He came down, and I said, "I'm from South Africa, and I'm here for a little period, and I would like to be heard." And he took me up that same day, and he put me in a room, and he heard me. I didn't really have, you know, a full song, because, as I said, I hadn't had an opportunity yet to study songs. And, you know, but he heard something. He heard something from the role I was singing, and a choir piece. And he gave me two songs, and he said, "Come back in 2 weeks, go and learn them, come back in 2 weeks, and we will hear you properly." And so I did. I bought a CD. I played the songs over and over again for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, I returned to the Guildhall, and I sang for a panel of people. And it seemed to have gone well, because at the end of it, they gave me a full scholarship to come and study at the Guildhall. Wow. And this was July that year, and I was to start in September. So and really the rest is history. I left. I came back to South Africa for a couple of weeks, and then I was off to London to start studies.
I mean, what a story. As you pointed out to me before this interview, you couldn't read music. You didn't understand German and Italian, which those songs were written in. You took those pages and said, "Yes, yeah, sure, I'll go and learn them." But the way you had to do that was to listen to a CD and copy what you heard. The results speak for themselves. And Jabula, I mean, you have no idea who that woman was in the audience who said to you, "This is where you should study, and this is the tube stop to get off at." What would you say to her if you could meet her today?
You know, it's in fact, doing this project that I do now, I think stands for that moment the woman spoke to me, because one of the things I always did, I wonder if she's alive, if she reads about me, if she. But what she did is, I realize I was very lucky, but is what we need to then do for other people in South Africa. And this leads us on in many ways to the work that I'm doing now. But
No.
I can't even think. If I didn't speak to her that moment, my life would be completely different.
That's incredible. Basically. What I love about your story, though, besides that just chance encounter that changed everything for you, is the fact that you didn't just take that good fortune, add your own talent and commitment and run with it. You have continued to look backwards and try and offer a way up for other aspiring singers, which brings us to the reason you're coming home to South Africa in just a couple of days from now. And Jabula, you've carried on mentoring young singers, organizing masterclasses to help boost their professional exposure. You're running another masterclass this late July, and the concert at the Baxter on the 20th is part of the fundraising effort. So before we talk about the concert, tell us a little bit more about the masterclasses and what you do there.
Yeah, so when I started studying at the Guildhall, I realized, you know, how much it was here that we really don't have in South Africa. Just the availability of top-class musicians who are teaching, but also working with opera companies. Just, you know, especially being in London, it's a center. Everyone comes to London from Germany, from everywhere. So as I grew and as I was about to finish my studies, I thought it would really be fantastic if singers at home got a chance to benefit from some of this. And of course, I realized that it's not easy for a whole lot of singers to get on a plane and go to London to audition. I was very lucky in how I ended up in London and got to meet that lady and go in. But not everyone is going to be able to have that chance. So I decided that what I would do is to bring people home, because now I have access to these people. Some of them have taught me. Some of them I now work with professionally. And so I started this program where each year I invite colleagues through the opera companies. So I've approached the Royal Opera House in London, who are assisting me, English National Opera, and a few other companies in Europe, who then, understanding what I'm trying to do, will send people from their company. So they'll send a conductor or they'll send a vocal coach. And they're supportive in the sense that they will pay for their travel, for their accommodation and all that. And what I do then is get a group of singers in South Africa together who I've auditioned, who they apply, they audition, and I select 25 of them, and I get them together in Cape Town, and for 10 days they receive intensive coaching. And it's really the top talent that I can find, because my hope is that then when they get heard by these opera companies, the music schools, their connection begins like I had when I went to the Guildhall. Then they're able to be liked by these opera companies and be offered opportunities. And then my job is done, really, because if I bring the Guildhall to South Africa like I did last year, I brought the Guildhall to South Africa, and immediately they offered 3 singers full scholarships to the Guildhall, and those singers are starting this September.
That's fantastic.
So that's the idea, and the English National Opera Studio was there, and they've given one singer. The Royal Opera House was there, and they've given 3 singers an opportunity to come and beyond the Young Artist Program. So about 9 singers who were heard last year are coming to live in London from this year and work and study. So that's the idea, you know, to be the connecting bridge and make it easy for the real talent to be heard, you know.
I mean, it's goosebump stuff, as somebody is saying on the SMS line, Jabula, to know that your personal intervention has made that difference for 9 people just on last year's class alone. Tell us a bit about the singers you've identified for this year's masterclass. Where are they from? What sort of stage are they at in their careers? Have they had formal training? Tell us a bit more about the group.
They're mixed. They come from across South Africa. Some come from Durban, like I said. It includes, like you said, it includes Menzi, the Uber driver who popped up recently. And actually, he hadn't applied. I don't think he was aware of this program. But somebody sent. I had a lot of people suddenly send me his video, and I was like, And so he's coming to be on the program. And some come from Johannesburg. A couple from Pretoria. And some come from the Port University. So it's a mixture. Some of them have not studied, but some have studied. And I like to keep it that way because it relates to my story. I mean, when I got hurt by the Guildhall, I had never studied. So I never like to shut anyone who has not yet been to UCT or been to this and that college, because if people are given a chance, they are able to learn from their colleagues who are studying, and they are able to also understand that they need to go and study in order to get there. So it's a mixture of them. There are 25 of them. Half of them, I'm pleased to say this time, are girls, because I've found in South Africa that somehow, whenever I do this program, you get a lot more guys than girls. And I've felt sad about that, because sometimes I feel, are girls not empowered enough? But this time, actually, I've managed to get enough so that it makes sense. 25 of them, and brilliant, all of them. I started off thinking this year I must take only 15, and I had to, and in the end I've taken 25.
Wow.
And so they'll gather in Cape Town on the 18th and begin their classes.
Now,
yeah.
Carry on, sorry. On the 18th of July.
And 18th of July and begin their classes. So arriving in South Africa, I have a gentleman who's been sent by the Royal Opera House, Anthony Almeida, and I have the head of opera from the Guildhall School of Music, and Kobe van Rensburg, who's coming from Germany. He's a South African director living in Germany. And I have Kamal Khan, who now lives in the U.S., but coming back to coach and play at the concert.
What an amazing opportunity for those students. Now, the concert is the way we can be part of this magic that is happening. Tell us what's happening at the Baxter on the 20th of July.
Yeah, so the 20th is a concert. It's the first time that I'm doing this concert, because usually I just do the workshops, and then at the end, the singers get to sing a little concert competition. But this year, because I do need support to do it, I mean, other people are getting involved internationally to send people to South Africa, but I still need to find money to be able to transport the singers wherever they are, because, in fact, none of them work. So once you've chosen them, you have to deal without you to Cape Town. So to transport them, to accommodate them, and to feed them during those 10 days, which is what I really set out to do. I like to give them something that is subsidized, so they don't have to have any worries while they're taking part. They don't have to worry about where they're staying, what they're going to eat, and all that. So this year, I've decided I'm going to do a concert to try and raise some funds to cut the cost. So the concert on the 20th is purely to raise money, which will then assist this project going forward.
It is an evening of opera. Of course, you can expect arias and duets and excerpts from some of the big and most famous operas of the likes of Mozart, Rossini, Verdi, Bizet, and many, many more. An opportunity to hear some absolutely critically acclaimed international-based sopranos and mezzo-sopranos and tenors who've come home for this event. Where do we book our tickets, in Njabulo, and how much do they cost?
So tickets are... my friends, and you can get them on web tickets and selected Pick and Pays and online as well on web tickets. 100 to 250 people can get tickets, and there's still some left, and we are really appealing to Cape Town to come and support this event, because it's not just a concert, but it is something that will go on to benefit South African talent.
Well, I just want to share with you two messages that have popped onto my screen. One from Belinda on the WhatsApp saying, my heart is soaring listening to this interview. Will we be able to see you perform while we're here?
Yes, I'm singing also at the concert.
Okay.
So I've brought colleagues who are not actually... so the majority of people who will sing at the concert are colleagues, who are people who are singing already. Mm-hmm. Kelebuchile, who's coming, Hoitzemang, who's coming from the U.S., Violina Angelov, who's a Cape Town-based mezzo-soprano, very well-known. Nozgo Teto, who's been in Italy recently studying with Mirella Freni. And then a couple of the young singers. So it includes Menzi, for example, because I felt since he went viral online, people have heard snippets of him, but they've not gotten to hear him, in person, fully sing. So he's involved in this. And also, there's a singer recently who won the Belvedere competition just a few days ago. Owen.
Metzeleng,
from Germany. Yes, from Austria. He's singing at the concert. And so there's a couple of younger singers and also a few older singers. And on the piano is Kamal Khan. So, no, and also I will also sing a couple of things, of course. Not just a couple. A few things.
Okay. Jabula, we must wrap it there. Let me close with this lovely message from Catherine in Hout Bay, who is listening to us in the car. She says, I'm going to be late for a meeting because I cannot turn off the radio. Thank you for everything that you're doing. What an incredible story. And I'm so moved by it. I think Catherine and Belinda and many others are going straight to web tickets to buy tickets for the 20th of July. And Jabula, we hope it is a sold out house. We hope the masterclasses are a huge success. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Jabula Matlala on the line there from the UK. Apologies for the line giving out a little bit here and there, but I hope you agreed was worth persevering to hear that amazing story. And as somebody points out on the SMS line, his voice is so wonderful to listen to during the interview. Imagine what it must be like singing. Well, don't imagine. Buy a ticket for the Saturday, the 20th of July at the Baxter Theatre, A Night at the Opera.